Welcome to the Government Affairs Update for Friday, July 2nd, 2021. It's been a good week this week in Washington for infrastructure. Yesterday morning, the House approved the Invest in America Act, which is the House's surface reauthorization bill that, when combined with a few water bills, amounted to over $700 billion in new authorizations for hard infrastructure and water projects, both wastewater and clean drinking water. And also the first bill in a very long time to contain earmarks. So a lot of really good news. And that bill also contained a partial fix for one of our major policy areas right now, which is the PPP FAR credits clause. Talk about the happenings in Washington. I'm very happy to bring back Matt Reifer onto the program. Matt, congratulations. A lot of hard work. Where are we now?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. It's good to be back on the podcast. It was a good week, and it's certainly a busy several weeks getting up to this point. As you mentioned, there were a number of bills that we were tracking and supporting moving through the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, the Energy and Commerce Committee, with respect to the drinking water provisions, and then the wastewater coming out of TNI, as well as the surface transportation bill that you mentioned. Yeah, and that all got combined into one big package on the floor this week, and we got that over the finish line on a good vote. So yeah, we're very pleased with the progress that's being made on the infrastructure agenda.
And talk a little bit about that fix, that partial fix for the FAR credits clause issue, something that I know you and Steve have been lobbying on and working very hard with members of the committee and the House to kind of get that through. Where did that appear, and what was the mechanism to actually get that to the final bill?
Yeah, this remains a top priority for the advocacy department, as you know. We moved the ball forward. It was a partial fix. It's a sort of step in the right direction. We had been negotiating for weeks with not just the TNI committee because of the intersection with DOT programs at the state and local level, but also on the other committees of jurisdiction, which had made this such a complicated issue, from a lobbying perspective. We had to deal with the Oversight Committee, who oversees the Federal Acquisition Regulation. We had to deal with the Small Business Committee, which created the PPP program as well. So navigating all three committees, we had extensive conversations with their staff, with members of those committees. Late last week, early this week, finally came to a resolution on, I think, what we characterize as a fallback approach that would narrow the application of the credits clause only to the intersection with federal funding in those contracts, and try to wall off the reach from state and local governments on state-funded projects, which is one of those areas where we were foreseeing, compounded losses for our member firms and the contract work that they do. And there's really no sort of policy reason that they ought to be capturing a credit or insisting on a credit on non-federal projects. So that message resonated with the committees. And so we were able to get a provision included in the manager's amendment. The chairman of TNI, Peter DeFazio, included this and a number of other technical fixes to his bill. And then it was approved on a procedural vote on the House floor. So a good outcome. There's more to do. This is not the full-blown, relief that we need. And we still have support for that with House and Senate lawmakers, all the way up to Majority Leader Hoyer in the House. And his staff have been closely engaged on this, and a number of other members continue to be supportive and committed to trying to move forward with a broader waiver. So we're optimistic about that.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point to raise. I mean, again, it was in the manager's amendment. You have a bill like this, and any large piece of legislation, you get it through committee, and even after you get it through committee, you realize that you need to make some tweaks and technical changes, and you have to really dot the I's and cross the T's. That all goes into the manager's amendment, which is essentially the first thing that's voted on and it's approved, it's negotiated out, and then you actually get to the bill itself. Getting the language into the manager's amendment just is a great place to be, because it just means that you're, once that's accepted, it just becomes the bill. And then on final passage, of course, you know, you have that partial fix. And the fact that we are still working the issue in both chambers, that we're talking to members of the House, members of the Senate, that we are gaining support for that larger fix, again, reinforces the need for everyone out there who is listening to this or has a really a dog in this fight or is affected by the credits clause to continue to pressure their elected members of Congress, House and Senate, on the issue. Because now you can point to legislation which has passed the House that contains a partial fix. Now you have legislative language which actually addresses the issue. And it's an open door. The door is open for even more more work to be done on this. So redouble the efforts. Don't let it up. Get those messages out on social media. Get those meetings scheduled with your members of Congress. Send those letters in through our action center at ecec.org. This is a great victory, but it's not the end. So let's keep the pressure on.
Absolutely. I'd agree with all of that 100%. It's a good provision. It helps move the ball forward. It's not everything that we need it to be. And we can explain that and are explaining that to lawmakers. And yeah, now our attention is turning back to our friends in the Senate and the offices that we've been working with very closely to see what can be done in the context of their infrastructure debate and legislation that they expect to take up later in July.
Absolutely. And then the larger infrastructure package, notwithstanding the actual reauthorizations that the Senate's working through, but that larger bipartisan package, which is something out there, the president has been outspoken on supporting that. He endorsed it. We did our own research on this. We've looked and we've seen, what's the impact that this is going to have on our industry alone. We talked about it in the last update, but to reiterate really what we found, and again, you can go onto the advocacy issues page at ecec.org and read the report. But essentially, we racked up the three most, the three competing plans, the American Jobs Plan that President Biden is talking about, the Republican counteroffer to that plan, and then this bipartisan agreement, which seems to be the vehicle that's going to move. And when we looked at the numbers, we realized that over a six-year period, this is going to, if the plan is approved and it moves forward, it could lead to a 6% average annual increase in engineering and design services activity, again, over that six-year period. That would result in about $75 billion in sector activity going to GDP, $62 billion in new industry wages, and over 82,000 jobs created in our industry alone. When you tie that to the previous research we did with the ACEC Research Institute, when we looked at the profile of the engineering industry, and we realized that 1 in 33 jobs is tied to our sector, the fact that every job created in engineering and design services work creates two more jobs down the line. You got that multiplier effect, 82,000 jobs times two. It's that multiplier. So we're talking massive job growth. We're talking massive economic activity. And it just really underscores the importance of getting this bipartisan thing done. Matt, where are things right now? How is it shaping up in the Senate?
Yeah, and to follow on what you indicated, we're working to get that economic data and the results of the Research Institute study into the hands of lawmakers, into the hands of administration officials to help bolster the case that they're making in support of the deal they made. I mean, they're on a sort of sales tour right now. They're pitching this, trying to maintain momentum for what they agree to as they move forward. And the next steps are to translate that two-page framework with those high-level funding amounts into actual legislation, right? And when they announced the deal, I think we all had more questions than clarity on what this all meant and how it's going to be fleshed out. And for our case, you know, particularly the intersection between this infrastructure deal and the surface reauthorization bills, the water reauthorization bills, I mean, those are must-pass pieces of legislation that have deadlines, attached to those underlying programs. So there's a natural confluence there where these things could come together, and those are the sort of building blocks for a broader package. But they have a lot of policy provisions to flesh out. You know, how are we going to allocate this funding? Is it going to be formulas? Is it going to be discretionary grants? Who's going to be controlling these dollars? You know, particularly in these new areas, broadband, the energy sector, and other things that were on the list for supplemental funding. It's exciting. There's a lot of energy and enthusiasm and momentum, we hope, but a lot of work yet to be done to flesh this out into actual legislation that can become law.
Yeah, that's a lot of work left to be done. And the one thing, the important thing about that study, and really encourage anyone listening to take a look at it again. It's up on our advocacy website, acec.org. You'll see an image. Just click the image. It'll take you right to the report. Look on Last Word, our blog. We have it posted there as well. I mean, really, we get lost in process, and it's one of the frustrating things in Washington because everybody loves process, and all the reporters right now are talking about process. They want to know, you know, the personalities behind this, the horse trading that's going to take place to actually get this framework in. That is, you know, okay, great. You want to create a narrative, you want to create some drama and sell ads and get calm space. The real impact is that economic data that we just shared. It's this is what it will mean to the economy, and this is what it means to our industry, real people out there. So, you know, again, you know, just like with the PPP stuff, get this data and send it to people. Send it through social media. We have this stuff up on our Twitter page, Facebook, LinkedIn, you know, with the numbers. And we need to make elected officials aware of this great impact that could happen. But like you said, a lot has to happen between now and then. We need to know, how is this money actually going to be handled? What's the structure of it? You got a framework. That's great. Now you got to flesh it out with actual legislative language. You have to make it work. And then you do have those two must-pass pieces of legislation, where you have a couple of legislative vehicles in play that need to happen. FAST Act is going to expire on September 30th. So will the either chamber's authorization package become the vehicle for this larger package? How is that going to work? And those are things that we're going to be working through over time, but it's going to be an exciting summer.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be very busy. You know, ACEC and our coalition partners in the transportation and infrastructure sector are ramping up our communications efforts and a broader sort of PR campaign and some ad things that we're developing. So that's going to launch in a couple of weeks. And that's going to, again, yeah, bolster the case to lawmakers and to the public, as you indicated, on the value of these investments, what they're going to mean for economic development, for jobs, and for quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know your advocacy never sleeps. I know that you're getting ready to go into some meetings, including meetings with the White House. So that's, you know, it never hurts to be able to take it to the top. So, Matt, I do appreciate you taking the time to appear back on the podcast, keeping us up to date on what's happening in Washington. I am certain we're going to have conversations into the future on this, because there's a lot of movement to measure here as we enter into the long, hot summer months.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very much a shifting landscape. So yeah, much more to come following the holiday.
Well, Matt, happy early 4th of July. Enjoy the long weekend, and stay safe.
Thank you. Stay safe and be well.
Well, everyone, we will see you again next time. Enjoy the holiday. Happy birthday, America. Again, this has been your Government Affairs Update for Friday, July 2nd, 2021. We'll see you next time.